live from the Sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, an inspiring today word that will help you battle through today's challenges. Listen and enjoy this exciting message and let the presence of the Lord work through you to reach the world for Jesus Christ. True love, pure worship, real answers.
This is kind of a strange morning because I could go several different places here, but God had me go back, and some of the things I shared last week, he wanted me to bring it again, but go deeper into it. But as we were flowing through and just listening, I started sensing that God is going to do something on top of what I thought he was going to do. And so that's perfectly cool. I'm happy with that. So we're going to pray. I'm going to share a couple things with you. And then we're going to anoint everyone in here. Amen. Ivy mentioned this to me, and I heard her a couple days ago. She said, I really feel like we need to have one of those times where we just go through and anoint everybody and share something fresh. And because of the attacks of the enemy coming and what God wants to do. And I heard that. And sometimes when people will tell me things when I know I'm supposed to minister, I'll take that and I tuck it away. And I'll say, okay, well, I'm going to see what God wants to do. And then, sure enough, God draw this back up. So we're going to do that. But first, let's open up with prayer. Father God, we just thank you so much for this day. Truly, this is the day you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You are a good God, and I ask that the words you speak today, that we would hear you. I know they're hearing a man, but I ask that they would hear you. Only the things that are supposed to remain, let them remain in their ears, Father God. Those things that are of Otis and of no benefit, let it fall to the ground. I thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. It is so good to see everyone. 2012, and I know we all have things we say we're going to get done and we want to accomplish, and I just really believe right now that we're going to get it all done in the name of Jesus. We're going to get it done. Amen. A couple things I do want to share with you real quick before we get rolling too far. Pastor texted me the other night. Our pastor is sophisticated, y'all. Pastor, he's on it. He's got his iPad and his iPhone, and he's on top of it. But he texted me the other day and said, tell the folks about the fresh oil, new wine. There's a dinner that's supposed to be held this Friday coming up at 6:30. So it's going to be in Jackson. And I asked him, Pastor, where's it at? I just called him this morning because I didn't have the address or the location. He told us, he said that he'll put it on, you'll see it on the online, the directions. But the name of the church is High Praise Church in Jackson, 6:30. Amen. So there's a dinner. I can't tell you what the purpose of the dinner is. I would imagine it's just so we can regroup and just reflect and see about going forward. So it's going to be a really good time. So if you are available, that's cool. Come on out. That's again 6:30 this next Friday coming up, High Praise Church in Jackson. Hallelujah. Now, you know, last time when I shared, this is going to be kind of weird. I'm going straight from the laptop. I like having the laptop here. If I had an iPad, I would have that. So if God, if you felt like the Lord was telling you, bless. I'm not trying to bring any witchcraft up here and be swaying folks. No. No, but seriously, also another reason, on the practical end, I went to print this and it did not print. So I can say I want to be on top of it and have the computer, but it's also because my paper did not print like I needed it to. If we turn, and I'm going to move pretty quickly through the portion I dealt with before. If we will turn to Matthew 2, verse 1 through 7. Say amen when you're there. Hallelujah. You guys are quick. Now, last week I was talking about, you know, we always hear the story of Jesus' birth And God gave me a different slant on it. And the question was, where might Christ be born? You know, we can look and yes, historically we can say Christ was born. We know that he is the Messiah. He's the Son of God. He is the anointed one. He was born and we know that. But to some of us, some people have never even heard of Christ, even now. And so he's always looking to be born either new in you or to be renewed in you to bring up new things, new deliverance, new revelation, okay? And so the slant I was taking on this was Christ wants to emerge in our situation, today's situation. It's all good to give history lessons and all that and talk about Christ being born, but what good is it if you're not going to stand on him and deliver what he wants to deliver in the earth? And so our goal is to get to that end, especially coming into 2012 and now that we're in 2012. But we're going to touch on a couple points. I pulled out four different points that hinder us from or things we must look out for when we want to go further and allow Christ to emerge in our lives. Amen. So right here in Matthew 2, verse 1, it says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the day of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. Verse 5, so they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Verse 7, then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may too worship, or that I may also worship. Now, I know I read all that just to go through, but I want to bring out some key points here. I thought it was interesting here that you've got these guys going to the king, going to Herod, who is the existing king, and you say, hey, look, where is this cat who's supposed, this guy who's supposed to be born king of the Jews? Where is he at? Now, I don't know about you, but back in that day, and I guess I shouldn't say back in that day, it's still the same way today. We get all puffed up in our titles and we get kind of territorial, and it'd be kind of dangerous to go before a king and say, hey, I'm looking for a king who's operating in your kingdom. And he's supposed to rule a certain sect of people, a certain group of people. And that's threatening. And you notice it said that Herod was troubled. Amen. In verse 3, it says, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. And so there's some things that happens in here that through this story I want to pull out, and we're going to really get into it a little bit more. Number one, if Jesus Christ is to emerge, and trust me, he does want to emerge in your life. He wants to stand up and you to allow him to stand up so he can have his way in your situation. But if this is going to happen, we must first understand this. We must be tuned in to notice the signs. That's one. We must really be tuned in to notice the signs. You notice these guys said they saw his star. Now, they saw his star. They saw Jesus' star. Imagine that. It takes something for us to recognize what God is doing. And I will tell you, some of us have gone around in our life belly aching, saying, why ain't God doing nothing? And I know that's not good English, but that's how I'm saying it. Why isn't God doing anything in my life? I don't see God moving in my life. I see what he's doing over there. He ain't doing nothing in my life. All that God would move for me. And the problem isn't that God isn't trying to move. God is showing up all over the place. If we would stop long enough to see what God is trying to do, it'd be amazing. The things we miss, the things we just run over and that we don't even realize that God is putting little signals in so we can see what he's trying to do. But these guys, they said, we saw your star. In order to be tuned into God, you've got to stop. I tell you what, anybody using one of those old tuners, those old radio tuners, how difficult is it trying to work those things? Because if you're slightly off, you got static. And today we're going to, you know, it comes in real strong. I mean, you can't be moving fast. And we're in the age right now where we're a push button generation. Bam. And if it takes any time at all, oh, see, God ain't talking. Then we go Christian. Here we are Christian. I'd rather some people not even admit being Christians. Or at least if you're going to say you're Christian, slow down and hear what God's saying so we don't sound like fools out there in front of everybody. Amen? But if you're going to really be tuned into what God wants to do, we're going to have to stop and take time. We're going to have to give him his proper time. We're going to have to strive or hunger after the presence of God. It's an awesome thing when we get into the presence of God and he just starts to download. I'm going to tell you something. There's times that I'm not in my word as much as I should be. I know, don't fall out. Nobody start cutting themselves or anything. It is true. Sometimes. No, seriously. But at times when I'm not in the word as much as I should be, it's amazing because I say, boy, whatever it is, whatever's getting in my way, however difficult my day is or how busy my week is looking, I don't care. When I get a chance and I stop and I start to feed, I say, man, I don't want to stop this. Why did I, what took me so long to get to this? I just start, I feel, it's like, wow. Oh, man, God, I forgot you said that. I start getting charged. I'm like, oh, man, I looked at this over and over, and I didn't see it that way. But what happens is as I silence myself and I allow myself to be tuned into him, all of a sudden I'm seeing a more rich red. Blue has so much more color to it. I loved it. Sister Linda said something today that I just love. I love how God works. But she said a part of the thing she was seeing is she said she saw colors. Oh, I'm sorry. She saw smells and they were woven together. I like that because sometimes in God, our senses don't act like they're supposed to. You start seeing smells. What is that? That don't make sense. That's silly. But in God's kingdom, it makes sense. There's some things he's trying to speak to us. And I really believe that as we get more and more into God, it's like putting salt on your food. I don't know about you, but I like some salt on some food. Okay? Or some type of substitute. Because it really brings out the flavor. God had to bring out the flavor for these guys to be able to see that star. Not just see that star, but to know that is his star. My goodness. That thing will preach all by itself. Because sometimes even after we identify what is God's, we still try to claim it for ourselves. But I'm not going there. Anyway, number one, we must be tuned in to notice the signs. And I want to turn to Exodus 33. Turn to Exodus 33, verse 11. And you know what? My daughter messed my phone up, so I don't even have my, I'm used to having my cell phone. I could look right at it now. I'm going to need you to, oh, you got it? Can you read it for me?
Exodus 33:11 says, "So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend, and he would return to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle." Then he said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth."
Now, I wanted to bring out those two scriptures because right now I'm still dealing with that first portion of being tuned in to God. Okay? Being tuned in to God, it gives us an opportunity to really understand and to properly look things over. My goodness. Now, it's hard to stay on track. I'm hearing all kinds of things here, but as we are seeking God and we want to be where God wants us to be, we want to see what God wants us to see. As we get into that place to where we actually hunger for his presence, an awesome thing will take place. We will start to smell like God. We will start to see like God. We will start to hear like God. It mentioned here that Joshua, now understand, Moses would speak to God face to face. Not everybody could do that. And here you got Joshua hanging out real close to the tent, right there in the doorway, just hanging out. As things are going on, and here he's a servant all the way. And Moses is, okay, look, I've been here all day long. It's time to roll up out of here. And Joshua's like, no, I just want to hang right here. I just want to hang right here for a little while. Let me hang here. And that's what I'm talking about. When we silence ourselves and we get to a place where God's presence is moving. Have you ever just seen somebody weep? Just, they don't have to say nothing. They're just in his presence. I believe God's just downloading. He's just downloading things into our hearts. He's starting to speak to us. He's starting to encourage us. There's times that I've come up here to preach. I've had a killer headache, and I get on the platform, and immediately under that anointing, my headache's gone. It's like, huh, wow. God wants us to get close to him. We must expect God to move. We must expect God that, yes, God, I realize I am yours and I am valuable. Amen? Wow, if I stay this long on each of these points, I'm being too long. Now, be tuned in. Stop laughing. Somebody laughing at me. Be tuned in to notice the signs. All right, they noticed the star in the east. If we go down a little bit further, the next step is to act upon what you know is God. When you know it's God, you better go to it. My dog right now, when I open up his little treat bag, he can be in the other room. He doesn't have to be right there with me, but I can open up his treat bag. He will come running. Let me open up a bag of rice. No, he's not running. He knows it's rice. That is not my bag. I can hear him say, that's not my bag. But let me get that bag, that treat bag. He knows how it sounds. When we identify God in a thing, we better be ready to go with him. If we lag around and play around, sometimes we miss God because we really do sometimes think, oh, it's just for me. Well, I'll get it next time. It's for me. It's all right. But really, no. Otis doing what God wants Otis to do is not just for Otis. When I make this thing bigger in my mind and I understand me doing what Otis doing what he's supposed to do affects my family. Otis being who he is supposed to be affects my church. Otis being who he is supposed to be should affect my neighborhood. If I'm doing anything at all, it should affect my neighborhood. So I don't want to just be on it just for me and my family. I want to be on it because if somebody approaches me in the street and they say, I saw Otis Crochran doing thus and so, let me tell Pastor Rob, I don't want to bring shame on our church. When this thing gets bigger and we start thinking kingdom, we will pursue all that God has for us. So we must be ready to act. How do we act upon it? This is where we're going to drill down just a little bit. One thing we can do is we can speak words that align with God. Now, I'm not going to look at anybody, but on Facebook, more and more, I'm seeing these little statements. I saw several people that I like, friends of mine, young people. Just anybody. And I saw it's got this little tombstone or this headstone. And it says, it has the person's birthday, their year of birth, and it has their year of death. And one said, hit by a pizza delivery man. That was what was inscribed on it. Hit by a pizza delivery man. And then another one said, ran into his door. And I replied on Facebook. I said, first off, 47 is too young for you to be dying, because that's how old they would have been if they had died based on that. I said, that's too young for you to be dying. But if you were to go on at that young age, I hope it would be because you ran into his door. You know, and I just put it in there. I said, some people are going to read this and say, oh, my goodness, why don't you just leave me alone? I'm on Facebook, butt out. But the truth of the matter is, the Lord started dealing with me of how we speak. Now, even though we can say that's writing, do you understand when Elizabeth's husband, man, that's amazing. I forgot his name already. But when Elizabeth's husband, oh, yeah, thank you, Zachariah, where he couldn't speak because God didn't want him to mess up. He couldn't believe that his wife was going to have a little one. But when they said, look, what should his name be? He had to write out what his name was. When he wrote out what his name was, his name is John. Once he wrote that, his mouth was open. So I only bring that up to say a part of our doing is how we speak and the words we use. It's also the way you script, okay? And so sometimes when we say things, we don't realize we're jumping in on a bandwagon and we think it's cute and all easy, but you've just declared something in the earth. The enemy wants your voice. The enemy wants your actions so he can control you and have access in the earth. And so if he could get you to start writing some things, he can get you to start believing some things you start to see, you'll own it. Now, some will say, oh, that's just kids play. All right, fine. I don't believe it is. And I don't see it in the Word. Now, also, if we look, we understand that Jesus Christ is the Word. Amen? Jesus Christ is the Word. I want us to turn over to John 1. And these are scriptures I know we've been over, we've heard many times. But I want us to see this. In John 1, 1, and I'll hit these pretty quick because I do want to get to, anointed, which I really believe is what God is very important. We're going to do it before we roll up out of here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. We know this scripture. Amen. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. Scroll down a little bit further or go down a little bit further. And in verse 14, it says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. We're talking about Jesus. Jesus is the Word. I'm still talking about where might Christ be born. In 1 John 5, 7. It says, for there are three that testify, right? It's the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. Jesus is constantly referred to as the Word. I'm going somewhere, and we'll get there. In Revelations 19:13, he is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. Okay, now I hit all of these. I'll say that again. In Revelations 19:13, he is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. What am I trying to say? When we're saying, if you don't have all the eloquent words to speak, when you're in a situation where you need Jesus to show up on the scene, What better way, if he is the word, than to speak his word? I don't know about you, but I've seen demons run at the spoken word. You start speaking the word of God, and yes, you know, people could say, oh, I don't believe in demons, but there are demons. They didn't disappear just because, you know, Jesus was on the cross. They can't hang it out. Okay, they're still around. But when you speak what God says, when you speak the word and Christ shows up on that scene, anybody who hears it, their faith is built up. And God is able to do some mighty things in that area. We actually can control our environment when we start speaking the word of God. The problem is right now, even in our prayers, we go before God like this. Oh, God, you know how terrible a thing came up on us. You saw how nasty that thing was. God, you know we can't beat it. You know we just can't do it. And we start telling God things based upon what we're seeing. Instead of saying, God, you said I am the head and not the tail. You said I'm blessed in my basket, I'm blessed in the field. You told me, God, that you can do exceedingly abundantly above all. Now, when you start saying that, he said, oh, my goodness, you're getting it. You're getting it. It's almost like doing a high five with God. And he says, I'm jumping in this one with you. I'm going to get in this one because you're getting my word. So I can come in. If we're going to do what God wants to do, understand, we're going to have to start speaking like God. Peter tried to deny Jesus, but they said, your speech betrays you. He had hung out with him so long that even when he tried to act like he didn't know nothing about him, the woman said, look, your speech betrays you. You can't outrun this thing. I can tell you've been hanging with him. And that's how it should be for us. We should use words that start to build up the kingdom, build us up in the kingdom. Amen. Now, I want to go a little bit further. Oh, my goodness. Y'all, I'm not good at going short. Okay, let's turn over real quick. Let's go to Romans. Let's turn over real quick to Romans 4. Romans 4, I want us to see something. And it's going to be Romans 4, 17. Let me know when you're there. Say amen. Okay. Romans 4:17, it says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed. Now, listen, they're talking about Abraham, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead. Amen. Since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, he did not waver. I'm sorry. Yes, in the deadness of Sarah's womb, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he being God, had promised, he was also able to perform. Now, we got to be solely convinced, truly convinced, that what God has promised, he's able to perform. At the top of this scripture, you noticed it said that he has, in the presence of him, and believe God gives the power to dare. Okay, let me find my spot here. Okay, being not weak. Hold on for one moment, y'all. I missed my spot here. In the presence of him who he believed, this is he talking about, Abraham believed in God, okay, who gives life to the dead and calls those things that be not, okay, those things that be not as though they were, or those things that do not exist as though they do. Now, what I want to pull out of that, I know we're talking about Abraham, he's the father, but it's also to us, the descendants, okay? Abraham believed in God, and he knew God had a promise over his life. And it's telling us that we too, being like God, we can speak and cause those things that do not exist to exist. The enemy has come to us as a church, has gotten into our minds and tried to tell us that you're being haughty if you think you can control your environment. If you think you can speak something, what, who you think you are, God? Well, I am. Don't get scared. I was made in his image, okay? I'm not saying I'm God. But when we realize we were made in his image and he gave us a creative power, the same spirit that caused Christ to rise from the dead is inside of me. So when I speak, if I'm speaking according to his will, I should be able to cause things to move. I should be able to speak to things and cause it to be because it had not been. So even though I'm coughing, I'm sick, I'm bent over, I don't feel well, I should be able to say, I'm healed. In Jesus' name, I'm healed. Now, what does that mean? Am I denying the fact that I'm not feeling well? No. But the truth of the matter is, I'm healed in Christ. I still got to deal with this body. And until it catches on and my manifestation of healing shows up, I'm going to have to do certain things. But I'm not going to change my speech to align with what's happening to me in this temporal state. In this temporary state. What happens here is temporary. The life I'm living now is eternal. Amen? So I've got to get my words to line up with eternity and stop letting my words line up with temporary things. Amen? Hallelujah. So check this out. That's number two. There's so much more I had on this list, but I want to hit these other spots. I'm just going to hit these. Let's do this. For those who weren't here last time, I just gave you bullet one and two, but I'm about to tell you three and four. We must realize the emergence of Christ will cause a shift, will cause a disturbance. There's some things that's going to have to change. You cannot stay the same and go with God and do the things that he has for you to do. Amen? So we must be ready to move with God. The current power structure that is at play in your life, he wants to rule. But God has new things for you, and some old things are going to fall off. You cannot allow those things to hang on. Number four, you must listen to hear. Amen? You must listen to hear what God is saying, or the heart of the matter. Now, Herod said he wanted to come and worship. That was not Herod's idea. That was not Herod's mindset. We have to pray for discernment. And so that means we need to be asking God to move on us. And while we're spending time in his presence, and we're asking for those gifts. You know, a lot of times we ask for flat screens, but I say we should ask for more of the gifts of the Spirit. Let us flow in more of the gifts of the Spirit. Speak to us. So, God, I need it. No, I can't show up. It can't show up all the time. But give me a greater level of discernment. There is an extra dose of discernment that you'll be able to hear the heart of a matter. Amen? Why don't everybody come on up? I'm not going to be able to finish all this. But I do want to deal with something. I want to speak to you as you all come up. Because I really want to anoint you with oil. And I want to share something as we come through the line. We still got time. It's 11:40. We're going to do what God wants to do. Is there some oil up here? I will rejoice. I will rejoice. Thank you. And be glad. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad. Here's what I want to speak to you as a body before we go through and anoint you. Hold this, please. You are battle scarred. Scrapes. Scars that have not even totally gone solid to where you know you scrape them off. They're still fresh. They're still scarring over. But God says, if you will turn up the fire, don't ask me to turn up the fire. If you will turn up the fire, I will burn your enemy. I will burn your enemy, and I will burn in you in a way you have not seen before or couldn't even believe before was possible. I heard your hurts, and I know you're weary. I know you've dragged, but I am here to give you a freshness. I am here to perform what I said. The things I've spoken over you, they have not expired. Oh, my. Some of you in here have spoken and said, I'm done. I've done all I know to do. I'm done with this. I tried it. I tried it again. I tried it again. And I tried it again. I didn't give up. I kept trying. But I'm done with this. I'll show up. I'll do it for my family. And God is saying he doesn't want you to just be here. Attendance is not what he's looking for. God's not looking for attendance. He's looking for committed people who are ready to pick their sword up again and cut something's head off. Now, I really believe God wants to release in this place a freshness. There was somebody I prophesied to last week, and I told them I saw on the back of their car, it was like they were getting married again. I saw cans just dragging behind the car as if they had just got married. There was a freshness that was being released. And I really believe God is wanting to do that in here. He's wanting to restore us because the things he wants us to do, we have not even tapped. We wrote it in a notebook and we left it there. And God is saying he wants it off the page and into the streets. He wants to do something mighty if we will allow him to do something mighty. So we're not going to do the work. We're going to just lay hands on you, and I believe we're being obedient. I believe the oil, even if nothing happens to you right now where you're standing, I believe you're going to start seeing something take place. Amen? I believe it's going to happen. So we're going to start at Pastor Chris, I know you're in the line, man, but can you come and help out? Yeah, why don't we hit him first? Ivy said hit him. Father God, be all that you want to be. 2012, be all that you want to be. Be all that you want to be in him. Father God, I thank you. New vision, new hearing, Father God. His speech will be increased, Father God. I thank you things will fall over when he speaks. In Jesus' name, do what only you can do. Amen. Amen. We're just going to go down the line. So let's put oil on it. Amen. A little bit more. Almost dropped it. Amen. Now, we're just going to go down the line. We're not going to spend a whole bunch of time. We're just going to touch everybody and make sure you're touched. Amen. And when we're done, when we've laid hands on you, you're dismissed. You're dismissed. Amen. Hi, this is Otis Crocker, and thank you for listening to the service today. I hope it's blessed you, and I believe that God is going to continue to do mighty things in your life in 2012. If you like what you've heard today, please look us up on the web at www.bethelwc.org.